All right, well, welcome everyone to Sunday. Isn't it great? Once again, we're continuing our series called It's His Year, and we're declaring, I mean, every year is His Year, isn't it? But this year, we're making sure that we are going to live our life declaring that it's His Year. So if it's your first time hanging out with us, whether you're listening or watching around the world, thank you for hanging out with us. We're so privileged again and honored that you're here. If it's your second time with us, your family now, I want to let you know, you're only a guest one time. After that, your family. So we're so thankful that you are here. And so I got a question for us, and believe it or not, you're not going to have to answer it out loud today. So we're good to go. You don't even have to get to know your neighbor if you don't want to today. It's going to be great. But have you ever just felt like something's missing? Maybe in your life. Maybe you're missing your car keys, or you're missing an appointment and you don't realize it. Maybe there's just something missing. Maybe right now, I would say that even in 2021, don't we just feel like something's missing? Maybe we lost it in 2020. Maybe that's something that happened. We lost it in 2020, and we're rolling into 2021, and when the calendar flipped, we were supposed to get it back, and we haven't got it back yet. Maybe it's not that something's missing. Maybe we're stuck in attention right now. Could we say that we're in a tension right now more than ever? There is a tension. Maybe you're stuck in the tension between love and hate. Married couples, don't look at each other. That's bad. Don't say that. Stuck between love and hate, friend or enemy. Maybe between self-doubt and self-affirmation. Maybe somewhere in our life we're stuck in a tension, or we feel like something's missing. And that's what we're trying to walk through here in the month of January here at The Vine, because we are looking and asking our church to participate in one word for 2021. Maybe you already have it. Maybe you're just like, I've got my word. I'm good. I'm going to make sure that nothing's missing in 2021. Maybe you don't. Well, we're asking everyone on January 31st, Sunday, January 31st, to bring your one word here to the house and lay it at the altar. And we're going to pray over that one word throughout the year. You don't have to put your name to it if you don't want to. You don't have to do anything. And I believe that through that one word, you're going to be able to walk through the tension and be able to see what's missing, and it's going to help you focus this year, maybe the focus you lost in 2020, okay? For our church, our word is roots, okay? Roots. Not like roots, like I need my roots did. Like, not my roots, mine are. I'm getting older. It's all right. That's how we roll. I don't have to get mine. I'm just kidding. When it falls out, it falls out. By God's grace, I'm going to be fine with it. But not roots that way. We wanted you and I, all of us, to grow deeper roots in the Lord in 2021. Because He brought us, and we're going to talk about this in a minute, but He brought us through a lot of crap, if you will, in 2020. And that fertilizer, that crap, that manure that He brought us through is going to allow us to grow deeper in Him and bear fruit in Him. And so that's what we are walking through in 2021. I have a word. I will share my word with you in the coming weeks as well that God has given me for 2021. And I would love for you to do that. So if something's missing in your life, or you feel like something's missing, that's what I would say is, hey, be praying about the one word, because through that one word, God will show you that it's not missing. It's been there all along. You've just not been focusing on it. And that one word will make you focus on it, and that it is Him. All right? So that's where we are. So we're going to talk about this year. Many of us would say, okay, well, you've given me a word. Well, my word this year is two words. It's not my word, so I'm going to say maybe this is you. And it's abundant life. Didn't Jesus die to give me an abundant life? Because some of us right now would say, does 2021 feel like abundant life? With all the chaos going on, maybe you say my bank account don't feel abundant. My gas tank don't feel abundant. My family doesn't feel abundant. All of them feel robbed. All of them. But instead, through all of that, my word is abundant life, because that's what I'm going to experience. That's the thing that I think is missing in my life, is abundant life. Because Jesus said in John 10:10, He was going to give us an abundant life, right? So why am I not experiencing it? So before we dive into our Bible, before we dive into all that, that's what we're going to unpack today. And I'm going to start and finish in the same thing. And I want to tell you this. Maybe you feel like you're missing an abundant life. And I want to tell you, the only bridge between faith, where your faith is and who it's in and what it's in, and to the abundant life that Jesus died to give you, is obedience. It's the only bridge. And we're going to unpack that today, but the only bridge between faith and the abundant life is obedience. And so before we dive into that, I want to tell you about, has anybody ever read the book Freakonomics? I know my nerdiness is coming out. Two guys came together and they talk about a study when it comes to obedience. I want to tell you this before we dive in the word. I want to show you how obedience works and how little things matter. Cedars-Sinai Hospital in LA, they were having a problem. 60% of their medical staff was properly washing their hands. This isn't a political statement. Don't get into this. But 60% were washing their hands properly. Did you know that 48,000 to 60,000 people die from improper sanitation in surgery rooms every year in the United States? And they had a problem. 60% of them were washing their hands properly. And no matter what they did, they threw incentives there. They said bonuses would come if they could get that up. They said gift cards would come. Departments could grow. Everything could happen. No matter what Cedars-Sinai did, they could not get past the 60% threshold. I see some big eyes because we're thinking about medical things right now. But they couldn't get past 60%. So they're like, at their wits' end, maybe like we are in 2021, they call a meeting. They get all the 12 department heads in a room, and they say, guys, like, we've got to get over this. We've tried everything. We've got to figure out what we're doing because we've got to get past this 60% threshold because literally we're killing people. So they had lunch, and the presenter said, here's what I want you to do before you go. I want you to take your hands. They took all the heads of the department's hands, and they pressed it down and took a culture of it. And they started to show them all the bacteria they had on their hands at the lunch they ate. Now, that didn't freak you out, number one. Still didn't seem to faze them too much. So what they did is they took the hand that had the worst bacteria in the entire hospital, they put it as the screensaver on every computer in the hospital, and now they run 98 to 100% sanitation rate. This is where I'm getting at when it comes to the abundant life and what we're going to talk about today. Sometimes we have to understand the worst case scenario so that the world around us can experience the best case scenario that is Christ, okay? That is Christ. And that can only come through our obedience. Our obedience. It's so crazy to think that that dirty bacteria hand completely changed that. Completely changed it. But it was the obedience and the follow through, the next steps that happened that allowed now the hospital, one of the best in the world, to have a right sanitation rate. So when you go to your doctor, the best question is to, don't get mad at me, don't kick me off, doctors. Did you wash your hands today? Like, ask them before they do that, all the way through when they're doing that. You can do that. So if you've got your Bible today, we're going to be hanging out in a couple of different places, okay? We're going to spend most of our time in Psalm 1. We're going to be in Matthew 7 after that and a pit stop in Jeremiah 17. So if you've got your Bible and you won the sword drill back in the day when you were growing up, you can flip back and forth with us. If you're going to do that, get to Psalm 1 and Matthew 7. If not, we'd love to give you a Bible free for the asking. We also partner with a Bible app all the time. We would love for you to join us on that. You don't have to, you can download that. You don't have to watch on there, but you can just see the scripture. We create an event on there where you can take notes and you can follow along with us and connect with us throughout the week. But if you've got your Bible today, let's go ahead and get to Psalm 1 and talk about this idea and this thing called the abundant life and see why it's missing. Like I said, the only bridge between faith and abundant life is obedience. So here we go. Psalm 1, verse 1 through 2 says this. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. Now, we talked about this a little bit on Thursday night. We unpacked Psalm 1. You can go watch that. It's up on our Facebook page. You can see that. Not trying to get a shameless plug there. I'm just saying we went a little deeper. But really quickly, what we started out with is Psalm 1 is this introduction, and it starts out with blessed. Now, many times we read that, and we have different interpretations of blessed. Blessed could be a car that you drive. Blessed could be a dollar figure in the bank account that we think of. Blessed could be a number of people on a Sunday in church. Blessed could be a number of people that work under you in your company. Blessed could be a million things to us, but blessed, the psalmist is writing here, blessed literally means happiness. The Greek and the Hebrew translation. And wouldn't we say that all of us chase our own happiness one way or the other? We want to be happy. And so as it works out, it says, hey, if you want to be happy, which we would consider, if I'm happy, it's pretty much an abundant life, right? If you want to be happy, it starts off and says, here's what not to do. walk in step with the wicked, stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but instead meditate on the law of the Lord day and night. So when we're talking about this bridge of obedience, I want to ask you, as we walk from this bridge of faith to the abundant life, I'm going to talk to you about three things we're going to see here. We're going to see what Jesus says with it too. And I want to ask you, and these are questions you're going to have to answer when it comes to blessed happiness / abundant life. Abundant life in your life. My first one is this, and this is the first thing you got to ask yourself is this, because it shows us there's two ways to live. We can live with the wicked, or we can be those who delight in the Lord. So here's the question. Are you living under the law of self or the law of the Lord? You can only be under one of two. Are you living under the law of self or the law of the Lord? Because if you're living under the law of self, you walk in step with the wicked, stand in the way that sinners take, and sit in the company of mockers or gossipers. That's what you sit in the company of. That doesn't happen in social media world, does it? Nobody gossips. That was the old in-between Sunday school classes. If you know, you know. When you grew up, that's what happened, was the gossip happened between the Sunday school class to the sanctuary. If you know, you know. But if you don't, I'm just telling you, that's just how it is. Like, sits there. That's sitting under the law of self. Or you sit under the law of the Lord. This is why the psalmist is saying this. So many times in our life, as we're trying to take those steps of obedience to the abundant life Jesus died to give us, we have to identify the evil in our life and flee from it. If I'm sitting under the law of self, I won't flee from evil. When I hear that conversation I know I shouldn't engage in, I get my coffee cup and I'm right around that water cooler. I am ready to go. Saying, why in the world? Why in the world did this person do that? Why in the world did they do that? Or that place I'm not supposed to get it, go into, and I look left and right and I'm like, well, nobody knows I'm going to go in there. And I walk in, yeah, that place. I'm supposed to flee from that. But if I'm living under the law of myself, I can't, because I'm chasing my own happiness and my own moment. But if I'm living in the law of the Lord, I will meditate on his word and know, hey, if I don't flee from this, it will kill me. Pastor growing up always used to say this, and I'll say it this way when I say flee from the evil in your life. You either kill sin or sin is killing you. You either kill the sin in your life or sin is killing you. In other words, if you're living under the law of yourself, You're destined to die. We're going to say this. You're destined for destruction. No questions asked. But if you live under the law of the Lord, you're able to slay the sin because Jesus died and set us free from it. He's already killed it in our life. So here's what you got to do if you want to take that step of obedience from faith to the abundant life. Here's what you got to do. You got to identify the gossip, the greed, the pride, the lust in your life, and you got to kill it. You got to flee from it. You want to have a good 2021? Look back to where we were last year in 2020. Think about that, and think about where we are, and when you see everything that's happening around the world, answer the question, are we living under the law of self or law of the Lord? Because I'm pretty sure the law of self is on display everywhere we look right now. But how we get to be set apart, as we get to show living in the law of the Lord, my happiness isn't in a government. My happiness isn't in a bank account. My happiness isn't in temporary joy. My happiness isn't in how many kids I have. My happiness isn't in where I live or the car I drive. My happiness is in something greater, because my happiness is joy in the Lord. And so for each and every one of us, we have to see that and know that without these knots in our life that is set up, not sitting with mockers and gossipers and standing in the way of sinners, if we don't have those knots, those guardrails, those fences in our life will be meaningless. We're going to see that in a minute. Jesus said it this way. If you've got your Bible, go ahead and get to Matthew 7 with me. He said it this way in Matthew 7. It's going to sound really familiar to all of us when we get there. Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14. This is how Jesus said it. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Jesus is saying this, and this is what Psalm 1 starts out to say. There is a cause and effect to how we live our life and where we'll spend eternity. We can't follow Jesus compartmentalized. We're either all in or we're all for ourselves. We're either all in, sitting under the law of the Lord, letting him lead, guide, and direct us through steps of obedience to experience the abundant life that Jesus died and rose again to give us, or we're under the law of ourself. And if we're under the law of ourself, not only are we stuck, but we're not really growing. And what do plants that don't grow end up doing? They die, don't they? And so we can be a dead plant standing up there telling people how great Jesus is, but if we don't take that step of obedience, we're not showing them his greatness for sitting under the law of the Lord. I should say this way, today's a little heavy. It's okay, I'm sorry. We're going to have some fun, I promise. We're going to have a little bit of fun. I talked about not washing hands as everybody went for their sanitizer when I did that. Like, I've talked about some things, but it's heavy, and this is why it's heavy. Sometimes we have to understand the bad news to realize how good the good news is, how good and great the gospel is. We've got to see the darkness to appreciate the light. And some folks right now are walking in darkness so much that they haven't even seen the light. And some of us have been in the light so long, we've forgotten what it's like to walk in the darkness. The world is showing us what it's like to walk in the darkness right now. The difference is when we take those steps of obedience through faith to get to the abundant life, we can shine brighter than we've ever shone before, whatever that is. Sorry, proper English, whatever that looks like. We can do that. And so for us, let's continue into Psalm 1 and see how we can figure out whether we're living under the law of self or law of the Lord. Psalm 1, verse 3 and 4 says this as we go. Verse 3 and 4 says it this way. That person, that is the one who meditates on the law of the Lord day and night, is like a tree planted. Circle that, highlight that. We'll talk about that here in a minute. By streams of water, which yields fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Wouldn't you like to have that plant in your garden, right? Like, that would be a good plant to have. It doesn't wither. You know, it's always got them maters on it. You know what I mean? It's got the good maters on it. It's got that, right? Like, it's got the good stuff. Whatever they do prospers. Whatever they do prospers. We said this Thursday, but I'll say it again for those who didn't get to hang out with us online or there physically. I'm not a prosperity gospel person, you know that. I'm not selling my sash in the back. Like, you know, I don't have it $20, I prayed over it, let me get my sweat and I'll throw it in the crowd and like, I don't go there. But we do have prosperity in Christ. Because he literally is our treasure. He is the treasure that we have to seek daily. And heaven will be our reward. The abundant life, heaven on earth now, will be the reward that we get to experience if we meditate on the law of the Lord, take those obedient steps that he's calling us to take. And when we do that, when the bank account's drained, we still can walk in the hope of the Lord because Jesus is our hope. When the car's broke down, we can still walk in the hope of the Lord. When the prodigal's left home and you're just waiting for him to return with open arms, we can still have hope because our hope is in the Lord and we can still pray for them and we can still be ready for them. That's the prosperity we get to experience when we have the law of the Lord. I can't promise you the prodigal's going to come home, but I can tell you, don't be a Christian atheist that says you're praying for him and you're not. Pray for him. Put him before the Lord. Put him before the Lord. Because they may not recognize that they're living under the law of self. But by you living under the law of the Lord, you can show them the right way. Verse 4 says this. Okay, here we go. The person like a tree planted in verse 3. Verse 4, not so with the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. So we can be under the law of self and be wicked and be like chaff that the wind blows away. We've talked about this a little bit before, but when you're getting wheat, like you throw this up and the chaff is the weightless thing that's blown by the wind away. And the heavy part is the thing you pack down, press down, overflowing. If you know the Blessed Life, Robert Morris just got really happy when I said that. But like press down and overflowing when it comes to generosity. That is the important part. The things that are rooted and weighted in the right things are the things that stay. The chaff is blown away. You know what the opposite of prosperity is what? Probably tragedy. The most tragic thing you could ever do in your life is live 100 years and do nothing meaningful with it. Because I'm going to tell you, it's going to all die with you. It's going to all die with you if it's all about you and you live under the law of self. But if you live under the law of the Lord, it don't die with you. It gets to keep going on for eternity. It gets to keep rolling and rolling and rolling. So the question is, are you living under the law of self, the law of the Lord? And here's the second thing you got to answer. Are you living uprooted or are you living rooted? Because if you're living under the law of self, you're uprooted. If you're living under the law of the Lord, you're rooted. See, roots come into play here again, right? You're either uprooted or rooted. What I mean by that is this, for all of us. We live uprooted or rooted. The chaff isn't rooted in anything. It's loose. It's blown by the wind and the ways of this world. And it just goes off flowing away. And believe it or not, do the people go chase the chaff after that? Does the farmer go chase that and be like, oh, that's the important part. Like, do they go around? Usually it's probably, choo, choo. Don't worry, that wasn't a real sneeze or anything. Don't get excited here. We got our worship team coming up. I'm not spreading anything. Like, anything like that. No. They don't. It's meaningless. That's what chasing bank accounts, that's what chasing your own happiness will do for your life. That's what chasing yourself is, because I will tell you, every time I chased things for myself and my happiness, it all led to ruin. It was all meaningless. You want to have meaning in your life? You want to see the thing that's missing, the purpose in your life? You want to see that? Set under the law of the Lord so that you can be rooted in Him. 100%, it will change your life. Because you will understand that you didn't plant yourself. Neither did I. The gardener did. John 15, we could talk about it all day long. Won't get there. We'll get there at the end. But John 15, the gardener, the Creator God, planted us. Jesus is the vine that we have to be connected to as the branches so that we can grow and flourish in all seasons. But the only way we could do that is if we're rooted in Him. Uprooted means I spend my whole life trying to plant myself just so I can belong somewhere. Would you say that's probably what's happening in 2021 right now? Somebody's just trying to find somewhere to belong. You see, when I try to find somewhere to belong, all the crap that I've gone through, I keep going through it over and over and over and over again because I won't bloom where I've planted, to say the least. Because if I understand God has planted me and rooted me where I'm supposed to be, all that crap can come my way, and I say, hey, He just prepared me for the next season. He's just helping me get ready to go. He's helping me do that. Because when we are living under the law of the Lord rooted, we don't have to carry the weight of life. Heck, we don't have to carry the weight of sin. We don't have to worry about the result. How freeing is that? Go to your boss tomorrow and tell them that you don't, hey, don't worry about the result, man. Stop telling me to worry about the result. Go to your boss tomorrow when you just set those new projections of what 2021 is and tell them you ain't worried about the result of tomorrow. See how that conversation goes. But we serve a God that says, hey, I've got the result. You don't worry about that. You take the next step of obedience and you trust me. Not seven steps of obedience ahead. You trust me just for the next one. And watch your faith grow and watch the abundant life you get to experience grow. That's what we have, but many of us are stuck, and I'll be honest with you right now, I know some are listening, you're stuck living uprooted because you're ashamed of your past. You're ashamed of the guilt of your past. You think that you've got to prove yourself to belong. And I'm telling you, in Christ, He's already done the work. You just have to rest in Him. And so for us, when I say that and I'm thinking about that, it made me think of The Last Jedi, okay? I'm sorry. Not the best Star Wars movie. I'm sorry. Anyway, we won't open that. I'm not open for critique. Don't get mad at me. But it made me think of a scene in there, and I could screw it up. So Star Wars fans, don't get mad with me. I might have meshed things together. My brain's a little, y'all already know I'm crazy, so it's all right. So welcome to the family. I'm the crazy one. It's good. Before we see what Jesus said, but it made me think of The Last Jedi. You know when Luke's ready to burn the book, like Yoda shows up, Luke's ready to burn things, and he talks to him about what to pass on, right? And he talks about the things in his life to pass on. For those of you who are living uprooted because you're afraid of the shame and guilt in your past, he says this, and I'm butchering the line. I don't have a good Yoda voice. I'm not even going to try. Like, I can't do it. Don't get mad at me. I can't do it. But he talks about the thing to pass on, and the most important thing he says to pass on is failure. The best teacher failure is. So of all things, he's telling Luke, pass along your failure. Like, that's the most important thing you learn from is your failure. The times where you tried to root and plant yourself that you didn't realize that you were already planted there. You spent all of your time struggling, digging up the roots around you to move somewhere instead of just blooming where you're planted. Failure. Share your failures. The best lessons I can pass on to anyone after me is the times I messed up. Parents, if you want to do that, you want to see your kids thrive, because, you know, I've raised 50, not, but you want to see your kids thrive, teach them through your failures. And that's the hardest thing, I'm sure, as a parent, because you don't want your kids to make the same mistake, I'm sure. I wouldn't want mine to. But through your failures. He says that's the burden of all masters. So if I mess that up, I'm sorry. I'm sure I'll hear about it from Star Wars fans later. But anyway, when Yoda says that, he says pass on the failure. That's the burden of a master. That's the burden of someone who stewards things. Share your failure. So if you've been living uprooted, stop worrying about your failure. Stop worried about where you screwed up, because only in Christ can you be set free from it. Only when you're rooted in him. So stop living that way, because the gospel is true. And if you really want to know if the gospel is true, just look to the cross. Just look to the cross. Be rooted in the cross. Be rooted in Christ and see the abundant life you'll get to live. Because right now, if you're living uprooted, you're worried about where you're going next more than exactly where you are. And that's the law of self versus the law of the Lord. What did the Lord say about this? We can say Jesus did, but this was back in Jeremiah. So if you want to flip there, if you're in Psalms, keep flipping right just a little bit. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, right? We're going to get there. Isaiah, Jeremiah. You want to get there? Jeremiah 17. Let's see what the Lord says about this, being rooted or uprooted. See, I'm getting there with you. I'm taking the chance. Some of these sword drill people beat me. I'm so thankful for our Vine production team. They make sure it's all on the screen. It's all pretty. They're awesome, aren't they? We can give them a round of applause, y'all. Come on, we got to thank. We got to honor those who work hard here. Verse 5 through 8. This is what the Lord says to Jeremiah. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws his strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns from the Lord. Lives under the law of self, lives uprooted. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity. See how Psalm 1 goes with it? They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. In other words, if you spend your whole life uprooted, you will never grow in connections and relationships with others because you're so worried about where to go next. That's why we pray to lay everything down every Sunday. Verse 7, but blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who lives under the law of the Lord, in other words, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. That's what we want for all of us this year, to grow deeper roots, send them out by the stream, be connected to the living water that will allow you to have fruit in all seasons, and that is Christ, living under the law of the Lord, rooted in him. You know, when I think of soil, how much light goes into soil? Hit or miss, all the farmers are looking at me. I don't know, I could be wrong with this, but not much. It's probably pretty dark, right? Isn't it crazy that in that darkness is when the roots grow the deepest? What if 2020 was just such a dark season for our roots to grow deeper that we just took all that crap he threw on us, that manure to grow, and that light now as it shines through, we get to rise up like the plants when the sun comes up every morning and it's just beautiful and his mercies are new. We get to experience and bear fruit like never before. We can only do that if we're rooted in him. What I'm talking to you about here is this. This isn't a good versus bad person scenario. Many of us who are living uprooted under the law of self, that's what we're worried about. At the end of our life, we just want to know we were a good person. I want to give them something good to say at my celebration when I'm gone, because quite frankly, we're all going to be there. We all are. It's not a question. It's going to be there. Death bats 1,000. I hate to say it, but it is right now. But hey, when we're rooted and sitting under the law of the Lord, we've already defeated death, so we ain't worried about it. It's just a stepping stone to eternity, amen? You know what I'm saying? That's how we roll. So for all of us, it's not a good versus bad person because we're all born wicked. And we're all deserving of God's wrath for our sin. No matter what, because of our sin, God's wrath has to be poured out on something or someone. And when we're living under ourselves and we're living uprooted, we try to bear the weight of that wrath on our own. And I want to tell you, that's abuse. It's abuse. And we think that God is only here to abuse us like the little microscope ants, you know, like the little ants, and we just think he's just trying to fry us up there in the clouds and abuse us, and that's not the God we serve. But Jesus came to bear God's wrath for our sins, set us free from that wrath. But we've got to sit under the law of the Lord, rooted in Him, and full surrender to Him before we can experience it. It's like I said earlier, the good news can't really be good news unless we understand the bad news is we all deserve God's wrath poured out on us. And the things we see right now going on around the world pales in comparison to God's wrath for our sin. It pales in comparison to what Jesus bore for us, and yet He still did. He loved us enough that He did. So why in the world would I not want to be rooted in Him and take the step of obedience He calls me to take? As I was getting through this, as we get, before we continue on and thinking through everything, obviously, just thinking through my mom's passing and everything, and one of the things Jesus has taught me through all of this is, you know, sometimes you got to go through the sadness to flourish. Sometimes you got to go through the sadness to realize my reliance on Him, my reliance on Christ. Sometimes you got to go through the grief to understand what death really is, to be reminded of the grief of death and appreciate the life that Jesus died to give you. Sometimes you've got to go through that. You've got to go through that. And that's just something that He's been reminding me and many folks right now. We get online prayer requests by God's grace all the time or dealing with the death of a loved one. I just want you to know, in that moment of death, Jesus bore that for us. That grief, that pain, that suffering He bore for us. The difference is the choice we make. Do we trust Him or not? And as I've got to walk through this season and continue to walk through this season, He just reminds me of my reliance on Him and how faithful He is, no matter what. But if I was living in the law myself, I'd probably be pretty angry. I'd probably be trying to satisfy myself and myself alone. And I'd probably be trying to figure out the next place that I could be planted in. But instead, in Him, I can be rooted in Him, sitting under His law. How does Psalm finish? Psalm 1, verse 5 through 6 finish. It says this: therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. It's going to sound familiar to some of us, but literally what would happen, and I don't know if you ever grew up in church, but you know, you used to stand up during prayer, or you would stand up whenever somebody, you know, maybe during the Bible being read or anything like that. But what this is alluding to in Psalm is Aaron's blessings, number 6, as he's going, he's standing up over the congregation. And what would happen is the entire nation of Israel would stand up when they would come to the temple. And Aaron would give the blessing. All the Levites would give the blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May He lift you up with His countenance and give you peace. Shalom, peace. Make you whole. May He make you whole. And the righteous get to receive that blessing. That is the abundant life. Those who sit under the law of the Lord and are rooted in Him will receive that blessing. But those who don't have to sit. And the reason that they sit is they weren't willing to kneel this side of eternity to receive this free gift that Jesus died to give us. And so the last thing I want to ask you is, first one was, you living under the law of self or law of the Lord? If you're living under the law of yourself, you're living uprooted. But if you're living under the law of the Lord, you're rooted in Him. So my question is, before we go to this familiar story, this familiar parable that Jesus told, are you built on you or are you built on the Lord? Because if you live under the law of the self, you're living uprooted and you're built on you, and it's going to lead to an outcome. If you're living under the law of the Lord, you're living rooted in Him, you will be built on Him, and it will lead to an outcome. Familiar parable, Matthew 7, verse 24 through 29, Jesus says it this way. He says, therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rains came down, the streams rose, the wind blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice, they're disobedient to the words, the next step I tell them to take, is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowd were amazed at His teaching, because He taught as one who had authority and not as the teachers of the law. In other words, Jesus wasn't throwing a bunch of rules out there. He was just saying, hey, listen to God's word, do what it says. And so what I want you to be reminded of today is both those builders face the same storms. If you can see me, hear me, experience this right now, you went through 2020. Unless you're a newborn babe, and God bless that you're here, but you went through 2020, and you're stepping into 2021. You went through the same storms in 2020. We went through them together. The question is, as we go into 2021 to experience the abundant life that Jesus died to give us, will we be built upon ourselves or built upon the Lord? Will we be rooted in Him and live under His law and His commands and understand that His way is better than our way? Or will we be built on ourselves, trying to find the next place to go, blown by the wind and waves of this world, and live under the law of ourself? The world is displaying what it's like to live under the law of self right now, more than ever. And so because of that, man, we get to show what it's like to live under the law of the Lord and rooted in Him like never before. The question is, will we step into it? Will we be obedient to do that? Will we? Because the thing is, man's plight is that we're all sinners and we don't have a word for it. We don't have a word for it. And so because we don't have a word for our sin, we don't think we need a Savior. And so we'll go about our life living under the law of self and think that we can figure it all out, that we can come up with a formula, that we can just be a good person, we could do all these things, and that will save us. And what we do is we end up trying to bear the weight of sin that we weren't meant to carry. And when we live our life that way, it will always, always, always lead to destruction. Because of our sin, God's wrath has to be poured out. Death has to occur. It is the penalty of our sins. And we can spend our whole life trying to save ourselves, our whole life trying to figure it all out, just to stand in judgment before God, which we all will, and say, I'm a good person. I gave to the poor. I served in Sunday school. I ate breakfast because the pastor told me to get there to eat breakfast every week. I showed up at the soup kitchen. I did all of these things. And God's going to say, yeah, you tried to be your own Savior. All you simply had to do is receive my Son as a Savior. Man's plight is that. But right now, more than ever, maybe you are realizing that you've been living under the law of self. You've been living uprooted. You've been living a life built upon you. And I will say it again. I said it all of 2020. How's that going for you? Pretty sure it's crashing. Maybe the great crash hadn't even happened yet. Think that through. But all you simply have to do is receive that Jesus already did it for you. He's already done the work. No matter what crash comes, no matter what crash happens, no matter what storm comes, you're built on Him. You're built on Him. It doesn't mean that you're stupid and say, when somebody says, evacuate, the hurricane's coming, you sit on the roof and say, I heard that's an old pastor joke. I won't get there. But anyway, where they send the helicopter in the boat and they say, God's got me, and then the band gets to heaven and God said, well, I sent a helicopter, a boat, and I told people to get you out of there. It wasn't time for you to die, but you instead decided to be ignorant. That's not what I'm telling you to do. I'm saying, take the next step of obedience God calls you to take. Because here's the thing. When we live our life trying to be our own Savior, let's be real, what that is. It's pride. It's because we think we can govern ourselves better than God is. Because we don't want God intervening in our life. Because how dare He intervene in my life? If I've got free will, how dare He intervene in my life? And I just want you to look at the Word of God. And because every time I look at when God intervenes in someone's life, it's always for the better. All the way through. So in this moment, will you let God intervene in your life? If you have faith that Jesus is who He says He is, will you trust that the only bridge between faith and the abundant life that Jesus died to give you is obedience? Obedience to the next step He's called you to take. If not, and you're for the first time realizing that your life has been built on you, will you see that 100% it's only going to lead to destruction? Will you receive the intervention that God's given you? Because when you do, the weight of this life, the weight of death, the weight of sin will be lifted from you. I can't promise you that it's going to be fine, because even the wise and foolish builder dealt with a storm. The difference is only one will be left standing, and the one left standing will be able to receive the blessing. Where the Lord blesses and keeps you, and His face shines upon you, is gracious to you. His countenance will lift you up and will give you peace, will make you whole. The blessing. So before we go on, I think of C.S. Lewis, and he said it this way. He said that you've never met a mere mortal. What if when you went outside today, you realized that the person standing in front of you will go on for eternity? They have a soul that will go on for eternity, and it will be one of two places. It will either be in paradise, that is heaven, that is God's promise, in the new heaven and new earth, or it will be in the nightmare that is hell. There's only one of two choices. The difference will be what that person does and the decision they make on this side of eternity to where they will go. Will you look at the world differently? Will you understand that you have a beautiful dream, a beautiful paradise to share with them if you are in Christ Jesus that will last forever? Generations, eternity, thousands and thousands of years. Or will you let them continue in their nightmare for all of eternity? The difference is, when God places people in our life, we have the choice to show them what it's like to live under the law of the Lord, rooted in Him, built upon Him, versus them continuing to live in themselves. It's not up to you to save them. You can't save them. It's not your job. It's not my job. What we can do is be obedient and point to Him. And so right now, maybe God's calling you to a next step of obedience. If you are in Him, if you are in Him, take that step. That's what I want for 2021. I want all of us to take whatever next step it is. Whatever it is. I don't know. It could be that you don't like the coffee in the morning and you want a better type of coffee. Let us know. Take that step of obedience. Maybe you're like, this stuff's terrible. Like, whatever. I chew it every Sunday. The pastor must make it. Whatever that is. I don't know. Maybe it's you're in the grocery store and you see the single mom struggling and she's running out of change. Maybe you've got $20 in your wallet and God's saying, hey, help that mother. Just be obedient to it. Maybe it's, hey, I want to start gathering together once a week outside of a Sunday. Take that step of obedience. We'll try to do everything we can to help you with that because God's called you to it. He's going to help you to it through. Maybe it's coming together every Sunday, hanging out with us. You're within driving distance, but the bed is so warm and the alarm has gone off 17 times and you just can't get out and roll out and you can't figure out how to get here. I'm telling you, assembling together in the house of God with God's people is well worth it. Would you take that step of obedience? Because John 15:5 reminds us, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. What is Jesus saying? It's what the vine, it's where we come from. This is the name of the vine. This is where we are. Jesus is saying this. If you are built upon me, rooted in me, living under the law of the Lord, taking the step of obedience that I call you to take, you're going to grow and bear fruit. But if you're living, built upon you, uprooted, under the law of yourself, there's nothing you're going to be able to do in this life. And if you wanted to do something in life, would you want to live in a life that you can do nothing with? I don't think any of us would. The only way that we can live a life that has meaning is in Christ Jesus. So some of us today, God and the Holy Spirit's pressing in on the next step to take. We have faith in Christ. We have to take a next step of obedience to experience the abundant life, the growth, the fruit that we are called to bear. For others of us today, the reason we do what we do each and every week is because, like C.S. Lewis said, we know that all of us have souls for eternity. Some of us today are realizing for the first time that our faith is built in ourselves. And the reason that we're not experiencing the abundant life is no matter how hard we try, no matter how much success or failure we have, it never brings satisfaction because our faith is in ourselves alone. And so some of us are coming to that bridge of obedience and realizing for the first time that our next step is to have faith and faith in Christ alone. And so I just want to say, as a family, we pray this prayer every week for the benefit of those who are coming for the faith. It's not that words of this prayer that save you. It's receiving this free gift of salvation that Jesus died to give us. Because all of us are born wicked. All of us are born sinful. And the penalty of that sin is death. God's wrath poured upon us, death. But God loved us enough that He sent His Son Jesus to bear the weight of our sin, paying the penalty for our sin. Not only that, He lived the perfect sinless life for us, bore the weight and penalty for our sin on the cross by dying for us. He's already died for us, paying that penalty, but loves us enough that He rose again on the third day so that we can live heaven on earth now, the abundant life now. We can do that now. And so with every head bow and every eye closed, that's the prayer we're about to pray. We're going to pray as a family out loud together for those who are realizing that for the first time. So I'm going to ask everyone to please repeat this prayer after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner, separated from you. I believe you came, live the perfect sinless life that I couldn't live, pay the penalty for my sin by dying on the cross, but love me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day so that I may have life. Come take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life the best way I know how. With every head bow and every eye closed, if that's you and you can say for the first time, I'm going to ask you to be courageous and bold enough to raise your hand on the count of three, whether you're in the house or you're worshiping online, if for the first time you've received this free gift of salvation. 1, 2, 3. If that's you and you can say that you have received salvation and your faith is in Christ alone, no longer in yourself. If you're listening throughout the week, reach out to us if that's you at prayer@thevine.tv or 864-580-6698. Please, we would love to celebrate this with you and walk through that bridge of obedience, those next steps as you walk in this season. Please reach out to us. For everyone else, you can look up, and if you want to, go ahead and stand, because what we're about to sing is this song that, I mean, I love this song because it's a reminder of God's faithfulness to us. It's a reminder that he brings dead things to life. It's a reminder that he is our salvation. It's a reminder that he is the good news. It's a reminder that our faith is in him and the abundant life he wants to give us is through obedience. And through obedience, we get to literally experience dead things coming to life. How crazy awesome is that? Like, think about that. None of us deserve this, but he loved us enough in his grace and mercy that through faith we get to experience it. So as we sing this song, I'm just going to ask you, as you're in this moment with the Lord, maybe he's pressing in a next step of obedience. Please don't leave here. If you need to talk to someone about it, let's talk. Let's walk through that next step together, whatever it is. But right now, let's just enter into his presence as we sing.
Search the world, but it couldn't fill me. A man's empty praise, treasures of faith, never enough. But you came along, put me back together.
right. Well, we are so thankful you are here. It's so awesome that we get to experience Jesus. Right? Like, we get to experience him, the fullness of his grace, the fullness of his mercy, the fullness of this life, because we've received the free gift of salvation. But it's not something we're supposed to keep to ourselves. It's something that we get to share to the world. And as we declare that this year is his year, let's take those steps of obedience to share him. Because here's the thing. There's a dying world searching, begging, and desperate for it. And he works through us to bring it to him. He works through us. He takes the dead things and raises them to life. So as we go out this week, let's be his vessels. Let's be his light. Let's step in obedience. Let's sit and show the world that we're built on him, rooted in him, and living under his law. And only in his law can we experience freedom, real freedom. Not freedom by a document 200 years old. Not freedom by a politician. Not freedom from a promise that will never be fulfilled. Freedom that is in the only promise that has ever been fulfilled, and that's from the Lord. So let's do that as we go about this week. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask you to come join us next week as we continue. It's his year. So Jesus, let us go out and let us show who you are to everyone you place in our path. Jesus, those steps of obedience can be hard, but Lord, you've gathered us together as your family, your body, to walk through it together. So I pray today as we take those steps of obedience, as we take those steps of obedience on the bridge of obedience from faith to the abundant life, I pray that we would do it together, Jesus, and that we would lift you high. As you give us this one word for the year, I pray that it wouldn't be a word that's all about us. Instead, it would be a word that's about you, Lord. So I pray as we go about this week and we go about and see these vessels that are in front of us that have eternities just like us, that we would declare you and that we would share you. And the easiest way we do that is to love you with all our heart, mind, and soul, and love them right where they are in the season that they're in. We don't have to have the answers. We don't have to save them. We don't even have to worry about the results, Jesus. We just have to rest in you. So I pray that we would rest in you and trust that and take those steps of obedience. Thank you for allowing us to be here today. Thank you for allowing us to declare that this year is your year. Thank you for making us for a time such as this and preparing us for this so that we can show your glory to the ends of the earth. We love you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Can't wait to see you next week.